This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where we hope to move beyond a life of mediocrity to a life of spiritual victory. And it sounds easy to say the words, that is, to live the life when there are forces of darkness around us. Ephesians 5 talks about this hierarchy of powers and principalities, and we're in a battle. And so we have with us a guest who has done much research and writing about the spiritual warfare we face, and he's on the air to give us discernment. Francis Frangipane has a book, in fact, titled Spiritual Discernment in the Mind of Christ. We give that title to this program. Francis is founder of River of Life Ministries in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He's traveled throughout the world ministering to thousands of pastors and intercessors from various backgrounds. And it's his heart to see prayer established in every city, to see Christ-like pastors and intercessors united before God, revealing the love of Christ to their communities. He has an online school we'll hear more about called In Christ Image Training. Francis, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, it's my privilege. Thank you.
How did you find yourself interested in this whole realm of spiritual discernment and spiritual warfare, Francis?
Well, I don't think I was ever actually interested in it. I think what happened is that there were some people that never changed, you know, some people in our church that never made progress. And in my pastoring and being trying to be a good shepherd, I came to realize that, you know, some of the actions and some of the blocks that were occurring in some of these folks wasn't even their will. They were just victimized by unforgiveness that the enemy was exploiting, or some addiction, a sexual addiction or alcohol, or they were themselves trapped. You know, Christ said, I came to set prisoners free. And instead of just judging them and saying, you know, well, let me just see you once a week on Sunday and please don't come around anymore. You know, we had to find out ways to help these folks. And so that kind of little peephole, you know, that little view into that kind of continually expanded. And I, you know, found myself just having a kind of an intuition, a Holy Spirit intuition about that we weren't just fighting against flesh and blood. There was actually these living forces of darkness. And I know most Christians do not want to come to terms with some of this because it's an uncomfortable subject. It's not something that you aspire when you grow up, you know, to deliver people so much. But it is something that we all need to know, and it is something we need to have in our arsenal, you know, that God has given us spiritual authority. Jesus taught us to pray, and part of that prayer was deliver us from evil. And there are things, spiritual forces of wickedness, that try to exploit the fleshly attitudes of heart, the sinful attitudes of heart. You know, the scripture says that Satan was banished to pits of darkness, imprisoned in pits of darkness. And he can traffic in any area of darkness, even the darkness that is in our own heart. So, yeah, we're transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. But if we're going to allow darkness and we're going to compromise, you know, we all have our Christian face that we put on Sunday morning and we look like we're on top of the world. But Monday is when you really need to check your oil, you know, and the battle that increases, we need to know what we're fighting. And so that's kind of the genesis of getting involved in this spiritual warfare thing. It wasn't something I raised my hand and when the Lord said, who can I send? It was nothing as heroic as that. I wasn't paying attention and the whole line stepped back and it looked like I volunteered. But it's definitely something that we need to know, especially in our world, Bill. I mean, it's like almost every day, you know, you read the newspaper, you see another advance of Satan taking advantage of, you know, whether it's the war in Iraq with ISIS, whether it's gay rights, whether it's, you know, gay marriage. I mean, there's just a crazy bombardment of things that are happening in our world, that as Christians we need to protect our soul, protect our families, protect our church, and advance into our cities to see people come to Christ.
Well, then before talking about discernment, let's talk about protections. I take it what you're saying is we all have our weaknesses, our proclivities to sin, and when we go against God's will, we open doors for dark powers that are easily unnoticed. They slip in and capture our souls. They make the addiction as though it's on steroids. They just make it more difficult to get set free. They take our anger and they can ramp it up. These dark powers take on personalities and they accentuate the very problems we're wanting to overcome. Is that kind of accurate?
Yeah, it's very accurate. You know, the Old Testament doesn't talk a lot about this, but I think there's an example I can provide here is when David sinned with Bathsheba. It says that in the evening, well, first of all, it occurred when the kings went out to battle, in the spring, when the kings went out to battle. David stayed back. So the first thing to note is that we're called to fight. We're not called to kick back and, you know, live a life of luxury and whatever. If you become a true follower of Jesus, there are times you're going to have to fight. There's things that you're going to have to fight. The motive of love, there's a war mode within us that is actually an expression of love. So there is a fight. So the kings go out to battle in the spring, and David stays at home. And in the evening, it says, he was sleeping on his bed. And in the evening, this is so unnormal for him. He's this warrior king, but he's sleeping into the evening. He's passive. He looks out the window. He wakes up. He goes out his window, walks along on his rooftop, and he sees Bathsheba. And we know the story. But it was like a passive spirit. He should have been fighting. He should have been with his men. And instead, he's passive. And I'm just saying that that's one of the areas, not that we run around, you know, crazy, binding and loosening and everything else. I just mean that we have a guard. We set a guard over our heart. A guard is a military term, you know. We have to have a guard over us. When we turn passive, we stop reading the Word, we stop, you know, seeking God, we stop praying, we go through little seasons like that, and the enemy is there. The enemy will take advantage of that, just like exactly as you said. He doesn't come in and say, I'm here. He wears slippers. He comes in and whispers. He works his way into our will, and he puts another one, won't hurt you. Try this one. Take that one. Take this one. And he just quietly makes a lot of little things into a big thing, and it becomes an addiction. It becomes a stronghold in our hearts. And so we need to have that kind of that mentality. Jesus said, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. So that when we are engaged in this quiet surrender of our will to the enemy, we simply have to stand up and speak in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. Now, in that process, we also, the Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil. So we need to take that area where Satan has been manipulating or exploiting the weakness in our armor. We need to take that area and surrender it to Christ. And Lord, in other words, if I'm overly angry about something to someone, I need to come to God. I need to submit that specific thing that is being manipulated by the enemy. I need to submit that to Christ and then turn and use the authority of the Lord to drive that dark influence away from us.
So there are some people who would say, you know, this is, it's the superstitions of ancient people, this idea of the demonic. How do you respond to that, Francis? Have you seen some real evidence that, you know, no, there's actually something going on in the unseen realm and it's impacting everybody for good and for bad?
Yeah, well, I guess it boils down to you either believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible. And to me, the Bible is the Word of God. And whether somebody accepts it or not, you know, one of my favorite verses is Romans 3:4. It says, let God be true and every man be a liar. So if somebody comes up and they say they, you know, I don't even want to know about this stuff that you're talking about. It's just myth. It's just traditions of ancient people who were ignorant of the whole spiritual world. It's not too long where they have their own encounter. And if they're a friend of mine, not just somebody passing in a conference or wherever or on an airplane that I'm talking to, but if if they have their own life, there will be times when they have dreams, when they have spiritual encounters, and they're not going to know what to do. And then they'll remember, there was that crazy Italian guy that I sat next to on the plane. He talked to me about this stuff. And hopefully they can go get help. You know, they can pick up a book or they can go to a church where, you know, the full gospel is being presented. And, yeah, you know, some things may appear to be symptomatic of illness or mental illness or what have you. But I'm just going to start off from the premise that the Word of God is true. I stand on that Word. I'm sent by the one who's called the Word. And nothing he said was untrue. So, and there's plenty of people who know what I'm saying is true, who are glad they're hearing it, they're getting an answer. You know, Jesus said, I've given you the keys, you know, of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind, you shall be bound. Whatever you loose. So he said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that he builds. And gates have keys. You know, keys unlock gates. And so, you know, we don't just ram our heads against these, you know, otherwise impenetrable walls. Jesus actually has keys, life keys, principles, that we step into it, and everything is freedom. You know, it's awesome. It's phenomenal. You know, it's the kingdom of heaven. So that's, you know, there's plenty of folks that are real eager to figure out what is it that has incarcerated their will and has darkened their mind and has led them to fear. And the freedom that Christ gives, you know, is, you know, it's like heaven on earth.
Yes. Well, certainly one, maybe evidence is too strong a word. We can't prove God, even though we believe in him with our whole heart. But one strong clue that everyone should look at is just what you mentioned at the opening. You're a pastor. You're counseling people. They don't seem to get help. Don't get help. They're not changing. They're not being set free from their issues. And then you employ the name of Jesus, and you take authority in prayer, and you follow the biblical patterns for confronting dark powers, and suddenly there's great victory in their lives. And this has been seen repeatedly by different ones I know, mm-hmm. and with different ministries I'm aware of. To me, it's kind of along the lines of an evidence. I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, amen. And I'll admit, you know, the beginning of the introduction to this, you know, one of the enemies' big weapons is fear. You've probably heard that old saying, fear is the dark room where Satan develops his negatives. Mm. And he uses fear. And in the moment you start talking about, like when I pray with somebody, if they're Christians, first of all, I ask them after I have prayed, I ask them to join me in the prayer and to actually pray. You know, Lord, I submit my heart to you. I am set free by the blood of Jesus, by the work of your Holy Spirit. I am your possession. Lord, I take authority in your name over this spirit of whatever, lust or jealousy or whatever happens to be going on in their life. I take authority over that. And they speak it. And we need to have, more of a fearless approach to this. I know it seems a little awkward, but I say try it, you know. Give yourself, if you're repenting of the area of darkness in your heart and you know the enemy has tried to take advantage of that, and you remember reading that Jesus said that when an unclean spirit goes out, it seeks rest and not finding it. It seeks to return to the place, the house where it was, and it finds it swept clean and put in order. So, you know, we need to not only be casting out these dark spirits that would try and come against us, but we need to recognize the enemy may try and get back in. He may try to worm his thoughts back into us. He'll whisper things like, I never left. I was just hiding. But you need to hear it. And I don't mean you, but I mean we need to hear and discern that voice is a liar. He's been a liar since the beginning. And that lie, no, you have no right. You have no access to me. You were sent out. And we need to make sure that we fill our heart. A person needs to fill their heart with the Spirit of Christ. They need to engage in building up their spiritual man, their inner man, so that the house is not unoccupied. The house of our soul is filled with the presence of the Lord. And we need to be ready, you know, to fight that counterattack that would come back against us.
I love what you're saying at the end there, to be filled with the presence of the Lord. We're to discern darkness, to be set free, but not to dwell on it. It's
right.
God who has the power. It's bringing light to drive out the darkness. There is where our victory lies.
Yeah,
Francis, you've just written some incredible things on the broad-reaching powers of darkness and how it can impact not just a person, but a church, a city, a whole region. Talk to us about that a little bit. First of all, is there any real biblical basis to believe that there are like hierarchies of spiritual powers that are at work, almost as though everything in the seen world is impacted by that which is unseen?
Yeah, you know, the scripture says that all things, the things visible came from things invisible in Hebrews 11. Referring to God, there's things visible that came from things invisible, but there's also that whole invisible realm of darkness that has its influence in the world. And we're living in a time where it's like the second psalm, you know, it says the rulers of this world take counsel together, the kings against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart, let us cast away their cords far from us. Those fetters, those moral restraints, those righteous laws, it's like there's this abandonment in the world. Freedom has become its own god, and it's something that everybody has to have freedom to do what? To become perverse, freedom to become addicted, freedom to become, you know, something unimaginable. And so, you know, what God calls us to be is a society of redeemers. So we're not just finding fault with the world. We're not just running and hiding in some hole waiting for the Lord to return. We're to be engaged. And as a society of redeemers, we see what's wrong. But it's not just our goal to judge what's wrong. We want to redeem. We want to save. We want to, if I see what's wrong, all that takes is a carnal mind and one working eye, and I can see what's wrong. But it's what I do with what I see that determines whether I'm following Christ or whether I'm just reacting to things that are going on in my world. Because I've seen that if we step in, just me and a couple of people or, you know, two or three people somewhere, and we see something that's wrong and we engage in the process of making it right and appealing to the person or appealing to the situation and appealing to God to turn this around, imagine if all the Christians in a city, whenever they saw something that was bad, began to cry out to God to redeem it. Imagine the power that would go out. Imagine how the Father's pleasure would increase. You know, because Scripture talks about it, that we are an aroma of Christ to God. The Father smells, if you will, the very life now that we're living in Christ, following him as the Redeemer. He said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And so we're in the path of becoming like Christ. And that fragrance, that aroma of turning the other cheek, of praying for those who have despitefully used us, of that living Christ on earth brings great pleasure to the Father. Mm-hmm. And even when we're wounded in the pursuit of Christ-likeness and we're praying for somebody and they turn against us and we still forgive and we still go an extra mile, you know, the wounds of a intercessor hold great sway upon the heart of God. Mm. When the Lord sees that, when he sees us not give up on our city, not give up on our church, not give up on our family, but we stand in the gap. And the gap is the distance between the way things are and the way things could be if God would move. And creation itself is set up that the Lord withholds just some key small amount of what it takes to bring revival. And that part that he withholds is the part that has to be manifest through our prayer and through our action and through the church in the city.
Well, Francis, we don't have much time left, but I want people to avail themselves of your writings and resources you've developed through the years. In my mind, you have been one of the more, if not most influential people in the Western world to help people have understanding about the battles, to help us have discernment in the mind of Christ for the battle. Now, you mentioned an online school. Tell us about that briefly.
Yeah, it's called In Christ Image Training, and it's four stages, the two messages come each week to the disciples' computer. It focuses 6 weeks on Christ-likeness, 6 weeks on humility, 6 weeks on prayer, and 6 weeks on unity. And unity is the outworking, actually, of those three other things, and then following that is the outworking of revival and what have you. But to realize we're not just saved to go to heaven when we die, we're saved to also bring heaven to where we live. And so that's what Jesus said. He came and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was close enough to reach. And so a Christian shouldn't just look like somebody who's going to heaven. We should look like somebody coming from heaven with the goods and the power and the life of heaven. So there's the vision of Christ-likeness. There's the humbling of our heart, being honest about our needs. There's the intercessors, the ministry of prayer, and then unity. And that's what we focus on this. It's a six-month course.
Wow. So it's online, making it accessible to everybody.
Yes. And the whole thing, there's three stages of it, but all the text that's available, if somebody doesn't have that money to pay the tuition, which is, the tuition is very reasonable, but it's free. The entire text of the course is free for whoever asks. So if they go to our Facebook page or go to our webpage, franjapan.org, they'll find how to get the free and how to get the, you know, the complete training.
Francis, then you've written a lot of books. We've talked around the title of one, Spiritual Discernment and the Mind of Christ, today. There are many other books. I'd recommend to our listeners any and all of them. Where's the best place to go? To your website, to Amazon? What do you recommend?
They can go to Amazon if that's quicker for them. We do fund the ministry with the price of the sale of the book. So, but if they go to Amazon or if they go to our bookstore, Arrow Bookstore, or they go to my website, franjapan.org, and then they can link to the bookstore right there, that's really the best way to get the material. So,
okay. In closing, can you give a final word of challenge and encouragement to each of us as we're together in this battle? Some are weary, some are wounded, some are overconfident. What do we need to hear? I know that's a lot to put into a couple minutes, but I'd love to have you give a final word to us.
Let me just speak to those that are struggling with disappointment, because I think there's a lot of people that had hope for breakthrough, or hope for ministry, or hope, you know, for something that they were praying, and it was the enemy was able to thwart it in some way, and they're disappointed. And just to go back a little bit in time, you know, we were saved at an appointed time. You and I and our listeners, we came to Christ at the appointed time. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you, and I appointed you to bear fruit." So if you look at the word appointed, how many times in the scriptures we read about this happened on an appointed day. You know, our salvation was appointed. It didn't just randomly happen. It happened because God, before the foundation of the world, pointed us to a day, an appointed day. And that's when that person talked to us about Christ, or however it happened. But we get into our walk, we learn how to follow the Lord somewhat, and something happens. A pastor says something that we overhear, and it strikes us as, how could he feel that way about me? We don't even know. We don't go to him and talk to him, but something happens. And the enemy exploits that. And what he does is the enemy causes us to be disappointed. So that very appointment that we had with God to something that was staged to be our part of our destiny, because we are disappointed, that exploitation of our disappointment, instead of trusting God, instead of even dealing with it, or forgiving it and going on, we carry the disappointment, and it blocks us. And so what I'd like to do is just take a minute or a moment and pray for everyone who's been disappointed, who's had big dreams and small results. And if I could...
That would be fantastic, Francis.
All right. Well, Father, you know our hearts. You know the battles we face and the cleverness of the enemy, Lord, and you have saved us. You have washed us in your blood. You have given us a new nature. You have filled us with your spirit. You've given us your word, and you've given us each other. And Lord, we thank you. We enter your gates with thanksgiving. Lord, we worship you, and we submit our hearts to you. And Lord, we ask right now that you renew our minds, renew our hearts. Wherever there's been disappointment, wherever there's been discouragement, Lord, we cast down the effect of that disappointment. We say, Lord, you make all things new. Lord, right now, I cast that thing into the sea of forgetfulness. And I thank you, Lord, that every day with you is a new day, and every beginning is a new beginning. And Lord, I thank you that your hand is holding my hand, and that we're putting the past behind us, and we're moving on to the new day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Francis Frangipane, and blessings on all who have been listening, and may you be protected, may you be empowered, may you be guided. Know the Lord's love and his joy this day, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.